Welcome back. It's another Patriots podcast. I'm Matt Dolliff. I'm with Alex Barth from 985thesportshub.com. And fortunately, the season is unfortunately, is what I was saying. I don't know if that came off right or wrong. But the Patriots season feels a lot different now. Disappointing loss in Houston. A bad loss. Didn't play well. Alex, the win against the Ravens showed me that they could beat anybody. And that loss last Sunday proved me that they could just lose in any of these games coming out. So I don't know what's going to happen. But I guess in the final six games, I'm just going to predict 3-3. And so they're going to end up 7-9 on the season. That's how it feels to me. I just don't think they're coming through late in these games. I put some of that on Cam Newton. I put some of it on the coaches. This game, I kind of put on the coaches because I think you – I don't know if you agree with me totally, but – I feel like that game came down to the end of the first quarter, beginning of the second, when the Patriots had a couple possessions, like really their second and third possessions, where they really got away from the run game. And the Texans were making adjustments and playing better against the run, and they did throw the ball well, so I don't blame them for throwing the ball. I just think you get Cam Newton in too many situations where he's dropping back to pass, you're just inevitably going to get mistakes. Like little details, like setting protections and things like that. So I think you saw that with the pressure the Texans were getting. And, I mean, that's the end of my rant. I think they got away from the running game. They got down on defense. They played poorly on defense, got down early, and then all of a sudden they had to throw. And they couldn't really play catch-up from there. So do you agree with any of that assessment? What's your assessment of the loss?
Yeah, I was about to say, actually, you made a couple of really good points there with the 3-3 at the end of the season. I think if you take out, you know, those two COVID games, the Broncos and Niners, they're 500 team, and that's kind of with inconsistency has been the one consistency for this unit. Again, I'm fine taking out those two games and looking at the rest of the body of work because I think more or less outside of those two games, they've been the same team since week one. They're inconsistent within the game, but that inconsistency stretches out. And I think the Houston game was a perfect metaphor for the season. They started out strong. The middle couldn't have gone worse. And then they're finishing strong, and I think they'll finish strong, but it's not going to be enough. So, yeah, to go away – and you tweeted this out on Sunday, too. To go away from the running game there, it felt like the first and fourth quarter of that game were very competitive. I mean, they were more than right in it. I mean, they were going up and down the field and – obviously, they didn't get it on that fourth down, but they
– yeah, like you said, most of the season, they've been in these games in the fourth quarter.
Right. So I mean, they had three real scoring drives there in that game. The first one where they got the touchdown, they got a field goal late. You would have liked to see turn into a touchdown, probably would have under normal circumstances. And then, again, that drive where they didn't get it on fourth down, you don't – if that's a regular drive and they're not pressing, they can be a little smoother. The problem is, in those middle two quarters, they abandoned what worked on both sides of the ball. They – stopped running the football on offense, which I think killed them. They became too one-dimensional. And on defense, I thought Dietrich Wise and Chase Winovich had a rough time staying in their lanes, staying disciplined. They let Deshaun Watson break contain too much. And maybe that was a coaching thing because they seemed to keep doing it. You know, it didn't seem like it was a one-off mistake. It seemed like it was a coaching point. But, yeah, it was tough. The other thing that stood out to me was – the Patriots, one of the huge bright spots this year for the Patriots, and I've been harping on this all year, is Juwan Williams and Kyle Duggar are showing why they were drafted, and that's to cover tight ends. And you look at the juggernaut of tight ends the Patriots have faced between Kittle, Kelsey, Waller, Andrews, Gesicki, right?
Yeah, what the hell going happened Sunday?
Game, right, well, going into that game, they were – first in the league in catches allowed to tight ends, third in the league in yards allowed to tight ends, and they'd only allowed one touchdown catch to a tight end. They hadn't allowed more than 70 yards in a game to a tight end, and then Aiken, whoever that is, has 77 in the first half. So, you know, I can't help look at that and say, well, if they contain the tight ends as they had all season, do they win that game? Were they counting more on stopping the tight ends? I don't really have an answer to that question. I don't know. It's just kind of something I keep thinking about because, as I said, I thought that game was a good symbol for how the season has gone. The one anomaly was it was really the first time all year. And again, probably faced the top three tight ends in the league in no particular order, Kelsey, Waller, and Kittle. And this is the guy that goes off. So
yeah, that's weird. Yeah, it is quite weird that they – all of a sudden getting roasted by tight ends again. I mean, Duggar, he's probably just not ready. Just to to note on that on defense. He's probably just not ready to like cover tight ends consistently. I think he seems NFL ready right now as a run stopper. He had a couple of really good plays closing
absolutely.
And tackling ball carriers like in the backfield or at the point of attack. So I think he's ready to do that. I think I do. I really like Duggar from the start. I haven't really soured on him, not even close. But after that game, I think it's just they got to work on like the technique things with him when it comes to running routes with tight ends in the passing game because the size, the speed, and the athleticism is there. So I mean, I think if they just refine his coverage techniques, I think he'll be really good.
Right.
But a good nice little learning experience there, getting roasted by Jordan Akins.
And I mean, he's held his own occasionally. He held his own against Waller. I thought he'd played pretty well in that game. And I wrote this in Zolak and Bertrand's favorite column last week after the Ravens game. You know, with these young kids, inconsistency, that's like consistency is the last thing that comes. It's the last stage of development when you're working on, rookie, second year players. Not for everybody. The guys who are consistent early, those are the special, special players. But generally, consistency comes last. They got to. They're still learning, and then once they figure out how to do the things, they start doing them on a more regular basis. So whether it's Duggar, whether it's Winovich, whether it's Myers, Harris, the one thing I would urge fans to not get worried about is consistency. If there's a great game one week and then an egg game the next with a young player, that's the NFL. So I would say with Duggar, we've certainly seen him play better games. He was outstanding up on the line. I'm wondering at what point does he start playing more of that Adrian Phillips box linebacker role?
You should be. And I know they want Phillips.
Well, I get wanting Phillips out there for the experience, but I think you start rotating him in there a little bit to see what he can do. But the consistent Duggar show me everything else. The consistency will come. That's just, that's not something that happens overnight. That's when we talk about jumps, right? We talk about jumps all the time. The year one to year two jump and the year two to year three jump. Year one to year two is more about technique. You've been in the league. You've been coached up. You've gone through the cycle. Your technique should be solid. The reason people put so much stock into the year two to year three jump is that's the consistency jump. That's, okay, you've done this for 2 years. At that point, you know whether the guy can do it or not at any level, right? After 2 years, if the guy can't do it, he probably can't do it. When you go from year two to year three, it's okay. We know you can do it. Can you do it for 16 weeks? Can you do it for 18 weeks, however long the season is? So just with Duggar, because I did see some Patriots fans saying, uh-oh, he's not that good. Like,
can we pump the brakes? I know I was like very highly praiseworthy of him. I don't even know if that's a right way to use that word. But, yeah, I've been praising him a lot. He played like a lot in the Seattle game. They lined him up all over the field. It's just like I've been impressed for a rookie in his first year. So, yeah.
Right.
No, you're totally right that consistency is something that he's eventually going to have to reach if he wants to, really be good. Because, like someone like Brandon Merriweather, who was like a good, a decent safety, but like he also had his weeks where he made some bonehead plays and he just,
there are some shades of Brandon Merriweather in Kyle Duggar, and that's been fun to see.
I mean, yeah, physically for sure. But yeah, just to circle back to your whole point about consistency, they're consistently inconsistent. I think this is just to circle back to the offense. I think this is what Cam Newton is at this point. I mean, you can almost go back to the Seattle game now and say like, well, what happened on that play? Like you didn't even have a chance to get in the end zone. You got tripped up immediately. Like he's just coming up short in the big moments too much. And in this game against Houston, it was really more about pre-snap stuff, really, because he was making plays when he had the ability to throw. But like and your article on 985thesports.com, which is really good, the headline was Patriots failure to protect Cam Newton. It probably should have been Cam Newton's failure to protect himself. The guy, he doesn't see rushers coming. He doesn't set it right before the snap. There's so many plays going back and rewatching the game where it's like all you had to do was look at James White or Rex Burkhead or Damien Harris, whoever's on the field, and just say, yo, go take that guy. Go over there.
Right, guy coming over there.
How many plays were like that? It's just frustrating that, like, if you drop him back enough times, and he threw 40 times or made 40 attempts in this game, I think, you're just eventually going to come across too many plays where he's not doing everything. He's getting, like, one little detail wrong or a couple details wrong, and it falls apart. And that's just the stuff that, like, not to make the Brady comparison, but that's the stuff you just didn't see with Tom Brady, which is why he won so many games when they came down to these clutch situations. And I think I'm just not sure Cam Newton's the right quarterback for them in that regard, because Belichick most weeks is going to put you in a position to succeed at the end, even if, like, the game hasn't gone your way for the most part. Then, like, you saw in that game, like, they stunk for most of that game, really, against Texas, but they had a chance to get the tying touchdown. So it's like, when Bill puts you in that spot, when you're on the field and at the end of the game there, are you going to execute everything right? He hasn't done it. He did it against the Jets. The Jets is the one right. game where, and he made the last throw at the last second, you know, like, I don't think he's the guy who's going to come through in those spots for them, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you mentioned what I wrote after the game, because I feel like, you know, any of those take pieces we write, there's always a tell in the comments for who actually read it and who clicked on the link. And I had a bunch of people commenting and either saying, oh, but, you know, 98.5 only blames Cam. Like, finally, you're not blaming Cam. And then there were other people who were saying you should have blamed Cam. And it's like, if you click on it, I went into depth. There were two plays I highlighted, and one of them was the first down on the third to last drive. Really, the second to last drive. Take out the Hail Mary. The second to last drive when Houston brought both safeties right up off tackle. I mean, you can see that coming
right there.
Right. You could see that coming from a million miles away.
The door was open.
And they had a play. It was like a double play action. It was a play act, like something with a longer than usual development time. That play needed time to develop. They weren't going to have that time. He needs to, at the very least, check out of the play option and drop straight back on that play. And he didn't do it. And then the other play I circled, like you mentioned, there are a handful, but I picked two in particular. The other play I mentioned was the one on the – ultimately the final drive, the fourth down, right, that fell incomplete when, once again, a safety got home untouched. And it might have been a sack. It might not. He almost got brought down. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, the safety impacted the play. You really – there's no reason as a quarterback, as an offense, back-to-back drive should be stalled because a safety got untouched into the backfield. That's just a failure of preparation, whether it's failing to prepare during the week and not seeing those plays on tape and not being ready for them, or a failure of preparation at the line of scrimmage pre-snap, like you mentioned, to not identify it. It could be a little of column A, a little of column B too, of course. But, I mean, those two, you know, there were 5, 6, 7, 8 plays in the game like that. Those two happen to come in key moments. But you can put more stock into that. I don't know how many times this year the Cam defenders, and they do have a case – but the defense I keep seeing for Cam Newton is you're going to judge his whole performance by one bad play at the end of the game. Yep. He played well up until then,
that's
right?
What I heard it after. I guess that's not fair. I don't know.
we heard it after. Well, no, it's fair to an extent.
Because, like, people say, come on, he's playing well, and they point to his passer rating. It's, yes, they made a lot of plays. He got him back in the game with that awesome play with Damir Bird. Damir Bird made probably a better catch than Cam made a throw on that play, but he made a big play to get them back in the game.
At least
they're making explosive plays now. Damir Bird had his best game of the year. It's just you get to the very end there, and he can't finish the job. He did it in New York at the very last second, but Buffalo, he fumbles the ball. Seattle, he gets tripped up before he even gets to, like, the 1 yard line on that last play.
The reality is,
he catches COVID. He looks out of sorts for a couple weeks. And then, San Francisco, they just got killed. So, I mean, that was one of the only games they weren't in there at the end. But the Broncos game at the very end, I mean, you could blame N'Keal Harry, I guess, for sort of not running the right way. But Cam Newton wasn't even close. There wasn't even a chance for anyone to make a play in that game.
This
is over and over again now.
I actually wrote about – I compared the end of the Texans game and the Broncos game in that – there was a blitz Cam didn't see coming, and he had a rush to throw. It was kind of the same thing. And just to get back to what I was saying before and tie it into what you just said, like, the pass rating's great. The passing yards are great. Fine. The numbers are great. You can't say – I saw somebody on Twitter say, so if you have 100 question tests and you get the first 99 questions right and the last question wrong, should you fail the test? That's not a perfect example, because this is the National Football League. Those plays at the end of the game – matter more. If you're great through the first three quarters and you, like, if that's how we judge football games, just who played better for the most amount of time, the Falcons would have like 5 Super Bowl championships.
Seriously.
Okay.
Let's
but that's
not
how
the
we
Super
judge
Bowl.
It.
Seriously. Let's not keep records, I guess.
Right. whoever's the best regular season record should win the Super Bowl. Exactly. You have to put more stock into the end of the game. And the reality is, no matter how good Cam Newton has played for three quarters at times this year, when he finally needs to make the play, when he didn't need to make the play against Houston, he hit Ryan Izzo for 50 yards on like a dime of a Hail Mary. But he didn't need to make that play. When he needs to make the play, he hasn't been able to do it. We've had a guy here for 20 years who did it every single time, and now he doesn't anymore, and that's the coach's fault. But that's another discussion.
Right, it's not getting into
that. It's just not happening, and that's got to be eating Bill Belichick up.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Yeah, I mean, it's so frustrating at this point in the season. Like, remember, after the Seattle game, we were saying, oh, okay, we're going to have a real season here. We're going to be in these games, and, you know, maybe they get a little better and they make the play next time. Hasn't really been the case. They did it right against the worst team in football, again, with, like, 5 seconds left in the game. Thank the Lord for that play between Cam Newton and Jacoby Myers, or else, holy crap. Well, I guess they were tied at the end of that game against the Jets, but still. They had to make a big, furious comeback to beat the Jets. And then I'm not going to make the rain excuse for the Ravens, because I think at home they can show up and they can beat anybody. That's why I think they'll beat the Cardinals on Sunday, which I guess we could segue into that game now. But I mean, I think they're going to show up. I think they're going to play a lot better on defense. The defense is going to bounce back against Calabria. I've been saying it all season. Maybe I'll be wrong. But, I mean, everyone's just been, like, resigned to Kyler Murray shredding the Patriots. Before we get to Kyler Murray, just to stick to Cam Newton and not recognizing blitzes or setting protections, Cardinals like to blitz with defensive backs, and they blitz with Buda Baker, who's a really, really good safety for them.
Yep.
He's blitzed, just looking at the stats here, he's blitzed 50 times. And they've blitzed with their inside linebackers, outside linebackers, Hassan Reddick, 20 total pressures on the season, according to Pro Football Reference. So, I mean, this is another active front seven, and they're going to be aggressive. And the Cam has at least stopped turning the ball over, which is good since that Buffalo game. They've cleaned that up. Yeah, it's been good. So they've cleaned that up. Now he has to clean up the whole thing about recognizing blitzes and pass protection and things like that. So, I mean, do you think he figures it out in 1 week?
I mean, maybe it's a little – here's what worries me is we're talking about, okay, he stopped turning the ball over. Now he needs to work on blitz pickup. I mean, this is – we're talking about him like he's a first-year, second-year quarterback.
No, I know. It's frustrating, yeah. You look at him, it's like, right, dude, when were you drafted? You know, a lot of these guys in the league, like, look up to you now. You've been around a while. How do you not know this stuff? But, I mean, that's just the reality. That's what has to happen.
Right. No, I know it's kind of off topic, but it's just funny you mentioned that because so many Patriots fans going into the year wanted a rookie quarterback, and we're kind of getting the rookie quarterback experience with Cam Newton. This kind of is what it's like to have a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
He's just 31 years old. So we're getting the Brandon Whedon experience, I guess. But to get back to your original point, yeah, Houston blitzes a ton. I mean, all over the place. I think on both sides of the ball, the Cardinals are very similar to the Texans. So, you know, is that an advantage in that the Patriots kind of just saw this and a lot of it will carry over? Or is it a disadvantage because they just struggled with it? On the blitz, I mean, this is going to be as hard of a blitzing team to pick up as anybody because you mentioned it. They blitz everybody, right? They have, you know, you mentioned a bunch of names, Buda Baker, Hassan Reddick. Isaiah Simmons, the kid they drafted in the top 10 out of Clemson, he's one of those positionless players, right? He's not a he can line up as a safety, can line up as a defensive end. So that's a guy you have to keep an eye on at all times. It is going to be incredibly tough for Cam Newton to – pick these all up based on what we've seen in the last few weeks. You know, I kind of would like to see, you know, let's see what the offensive line can do. Maybe they'll help him out more. Maybe David Andrews, Joe Tooney, you know, these guys are part of blitz pickup too. Maybe the communication isn't totally there right now. Maybe that's something they need to work on this week, is communicating between the offensive line and the quarterback in terms of what they see. So, you know, Cam hasn't given me a reason to think it'll turn around in just a week, but we'll see what happens.
I guess David Andrews needs to take on a bigger role or something. I don't know. I have a hard time blaming anybody but the quarterback. And, yeah, the fans will get mad if you criticize the team, a lot of them. So, I mean, then to get the segment of fans that left the team for the Bucks, it's just a horrid experience dealing with fans on Twitter and Facebook. So, you know, Godspeed to you after that experience. But, the Cardinals, they've blitzed 391 times this season. In 8 games. And I mean, that's with like multiple players at once during the game. So, I mean, but that's a lot of blitz. It sounds like a high number.
I looked last week. They're fifth or sixth in terms of blitz percentage. They blitz about 40% of the time. Houston was in the middle of the pack. So if you thought Houston blitzed a lot, I mean, Houston was in the low 30s and Arizona's at 40. So that's, you know, one in every 10 plays more is going to be a blitz against the Cardinals. And I would think they're going to blitz above their percentage after seeing what happened last week. I would think that you're going to see near a 50% blitz rate from Vance Joseph, and he should. That would be the right thing to do.
I think everybody needs to start doing that now, even if you don't blitz that much. Just send one extra guy. He won't see it. And it's like they really better figure that out. Or even if the defense has like a decent day but still can't stop the big play, and the Cardinals could get to like 20, 23 points, you know, like the offense can't falter in this one. They gotta clean that up, the whole pass protection, picking up the blitz thing. But yeah, let's get to Kyler Murray. Do you think this is just a general take of mine. I'm not basing it on anything schematic or anything based on the film or their scheme or anything like that. I just look at Kyler Murray and say he's young, second year in the league. He's obviously playing very, very well. He's very dynamic. And he could be a perennial MVP candidate if he plays like this every year. And not to mention stays healthy. He is dealing with, I guess, a shoulder injury right now. But he will be out there, it sounds like. That's what Cliff Kingsbury's like, not going to say anything definitive, but they don't sound worried about Kyler Murray being out there. So let's just assume he's going to play. I just look at him and say he's young, second year in the league, coming to Foxborough against a Bill Belichick coach defense. This is why I thought the Broncos had no chance, and they really shouldn't have had a chance because they scored 18 points on 6 field goals. It was really on Cam Newton and the offense faltering in that game. So, I mean, I don't want to have a repeat of the Broncos game, so I think it really is going to come down to Cam Newton and the offense. But do you think there's a chance that the defense will have as much trouble with Kyler Murray that they just did against Deshaun Watson? Do you think Kyler Murray can avoid mistakes and be as accurate as Deshaun Watson was in that game?
Yeah, I mean, assuming he's fully healthy, I don't know if he's going to be as good as – I mean, Deshaun Watson was really good. I don't know that he's going to be – right. I don't know that Kyler is going to be on that level, but, I mean, he certainly can give him fits. I mean, he does a lot of the same things. And you could argue he has better receivers, right? Imagine if that Houston offense, as good as it looked, had a – explosive true number one like DeAndre Hopkins. But that's,
I know, it's
like
funny. I was looking at their snaps. DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald are still like the one and two receiver. Obviously Hopkins, but Fitzgerald is still holding on to that clear number two role in the receiver pecking order. And they have Andy Isabella, who's, you know, fast, talented guy. They have Christian Kirk, who's had a couple of big games this year, and he's number three in the snap count. It's just hilarious how they have the fossil Fitzgerald holding down the fort there, and Bill Belichick comparing it to Peyton Manning today. I mean, I was like, whoa. He's not only is he not talking about Brady, he's talking about Manning, and you're like, yeah, you know, it was probably tampering. You know, I guess that's a good argument for that.
Right. And the other thing is, I mean, as much as we love Larry Fitzgerald, I'm a big Larry Fitzgerald. Here's the thing you need to know about Larry Fitzgerald. He has more career tackles than drops.
That's your favorite stat. I feel like it's a
great stat.
You get hot and bothered whenever you just read that stat off your phone.
That being said, I mean, he's not the greatest of all time. So the Peyton Manning comp is probably fair. You know, he's not Jerry Rice. He's not Randy Moss. But he was a very good player. He can still do a little bit. They got some good receiving backs too. And that's the thing. You're adding now the element and something that has been tough for the Patriots for the last few years, which is covering running backs, right? Kenyon Drake is – we know what Kenyon Drake can do when he catches the football. We saw it in 2018 in Miami. So – that's going to be the one different wrinkle in this game, I think, that gives the Cardinals an advantage. No, I'm not You know, I think the whole Belichick versus the young quarterback thing got put to bed when Drew Lock came in and beat him. I think that this is a different year. This is a different defense.
Yeah, but they didn't score a touchdown. They scored 18 points.
Like, but this is also
– Drew Lock really beat Bill Belichick in that battle?
I would like to think so, because I said Drew Lock was the best quarterback in that draft class, and I need that for that argument. But
I mean, I don't – I guess you might be right. I don't know.
I mean – look, the Broncos, I mean, it came down to turnovers. And at the end of the day, the Broncos were able to hold on to the ball and at least get into field goal range. You know, contextually, Drew Lock played pretty well until the very end of that game. So I will, and again, the end of the game is what matters more. I'm not saying he played great.
Okay, but just stick to the Cardinals. Like, are they, say the Patriots don't turn the ball over on offense. Do you think that you don't think they can force a turnover against the Cardinals?
I think they can force a turnover. I think that, you know, they could, it's going to be about pressure. If you can get pressure on Kyler, he does get erratic. And that's going to be the thing. If it's like last week where Deshaun Watson can just run around wherever he wanted behind the line of scrimmage, in the pocket, out of the pocket, getting, you know, to the numbers and throwing the ball, it's not going to be an issue. But if they can really knock Kyler off his spot and force him to move instead of let him move, then, yeah, they might be able to get him to panic, and he's going to be a little bit quicker on the trigger than a guy like Deshaun Watson.
Right. Yeah, I'm not too – yeah, I think they could play some zone against Kyler Murray and just try to do some things that will confuse him, line up different guys, drop different guys into coverage, things like that. That's the sort of thing where I think Deshaun Watson has enough experience where he could pick you apart, and that's what he did. He picked you apart throwing on the move. He was accurate. He threw to guys that were covered. I mean, whatever the – I think the Kiki Kuti touchdown, the guy was blanketed. And he made a perfect throw on the run. So, I mean, like, I know Kyler Murray has the physical tools. It's just, yeah, can he avoid the mental mistakes? That's what I think. I think you're right. I think the game could come down to turnovers, just like it did against the Broncos and just like the win against the Ravens did. So, I mean, yeah, they might – I mean, they emphasize ball security every week, but they probably are going to say we can just take care of the ball and run a standard offense. And as long as we take care of the ball, Kyler Murray – you know, he will make some plays on us because he's too good to, you know, just hold him off the scoreboard completely. But we just got to hope that he's not going to pick us apart all the way up and down the field for 10 plays every drive and not throw an interception. So, I mean, that's the question.
I would say if they do play zone again, because you mentioned that, I mean, there was nobody in the middle of the field against Houston, and that killed them. They need to do a better job at defending the middle of the field against zone, because there were too many just easy outlets the few times Watson really was pressure where he could get the ball away. And that's what you need to do to pressure a young quarterback. We saw it against, you know, Derek Carr's not young, but that's what they did against Derek Carr. They took away the check down. They were double teaming the check down.
Yeah,
and they forced him to go through his progressions down the field and throw to the second or third progression. That's how you beat a young quarterback. So easier said than done, but that to me is kind of the recipe against Kyler in the secondary, and then again on the pass rush, forcing him off his spot and making him move instead of letting him move.
Indeed. Yeah. I mean, he probably will break loose for a couple of big runs, but I mean, yeah, as long as they keep him out of the end zone just enough and they force him into a mistake or two, they'll be okay. I think the Patriots win again, but then again, there's nothing's guaranteed after the last couple of weeks. So we'll see how that goes. Quickly, before we get out of here, you're going to head to practice after this recording is finished. We already know that Julian Edelman will not be there. Jim McBride reporting he's not ready to return to practice. And this all is related to, like, the 21-day clock that the Patriots would have before they are ready to activate Edelman. So, I mean, that's a sign that they're not ready to start that clock. So Edelman not back this week, might not be back the next couple weeks. But I think it's getting a little interesting at receiver. And I don't want to overreact to one game. But Jacoby Myers playing every snap. He's doing he's executing what his number's called. Damier Byrd finally shows up with a big game. I mean, we'll see how he does against a better secondary, I guess, and the Cardinals. But, you know, he's playing a lot better lately. And Dante Moncrief gets in the lineup. And they still have Isaiah Ford, who Bill Belichick says they're going to work into the lineup more. I mean, do you feel like I mean, I know that they and N'Keal Harry made a few catches last week. So, I mean, at least he's starting to do something as a pass catcher. But I don't know. I feel a little bit better about the receiver group even in the future after the last few weeks. What do you think?
I think you made a bunch of good points there. I will just add, you know, we've talked about it before. They have a bunch of good number threes is kind of where they're at. I'll just add on top of that, the passing game as a whole. Jordan Thomas didn't get a target. Well, he did. He got one, but the ball was knocked down at the line. But he got himself open a couple of times in that game. So he only played six snaps.
I think the fact that they got him right in there with some snap shows,
right,
that he could get more
on the opening
drive.
I'm looking forward to see, you know, with it, if they expand his role, we'll see. They've been hesitant to go away from Ryan Izzo, but if they expand Jordan Thomas's role, I'm excited to see what he can bring to the passing game, because I was encouraged by what I saw.
I agree. I think the passing game, they did play very well against the Texans. I just think they got sort of screwy with their play calling early in the game, and then that's when they went down and against Deshaun Watson, and that doomed him for the rest of the game. So let's hopefully they'll sharpen up the play calling and the scripted drives at the beginning of the game, and they'll hold on and they'll avoid the big plays, at least from Kyler Murray. All right. Thanks for listening. Barth, I'll let you go. Go on to practice. We're going to have plenty more Patriots coverage for you at 98.5thesportshub.com. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Happy Thanksgiving.